I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I am joined by the lovely Michael Griffiths. Michael, can I just quickly go back to talking about firefighting with you? Because I know there's loads of other lovely things I want to talk about, but I feel like I'm very interested in this one particular topic. What was your best experience as a firefighter? Was there a moment where you were like, yes, this is what I joined for, this is what I'm living for? Was it like a really good save? Was it... don't know, really good fire. Like, just tell me what it was, please.
I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of interesting fires that I've attended, but at the same time, you need to remember that something that is interesting to me is ruining someone else's day or even life. But the one that sticks out most is me and a fellow firefighter, Jamie, saving two kids from a house fire. And the house fire wasn't actually far from your mum and dad's house. And when we pulled around the corner, the smoke was billowing out the front door. So my OIC was just like, get your sets on, you're going in. There was already an appliance there, but the first team at the fire goes in to fight the fire. Our job was to go in and as search and rescue. So we've checked upstairs and we found nobody. So we checked it again, like just to double, be sure that no one's there. We've come back downstairs and gone outside and said, no one's upstairs. And our OIC said, there's two kids missing. They're in the house. So we've gone in through what I think was a dining area and then into the living room. And as we've gone around, we found one of the kids sat next to the couch with a blanket over the red and one on the couch. So as soon as we got them two, we was just like, let's get straight out. Got the kids out. They went into the ambulance. They were okay. But that one... as a firefighter, those kind of fires make you think, because I've got nephews, and at the time, they were around the same age. So it's like, you start thinking about that, and especially if, as a firefighter, you've got kids, you start thinking, that could be my kid.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, real sort of like, look on the bright side there, you save two lives, you know, I'm sure the parents would rather have them than, you know, the house any day. This is probably quite a hard question to answer, and I don't want to upset you, but I wondered if you could tell about your worst day as a firefighter.
Worst day as a firefighter was probably my first water job.
Right.
So in Liverpool, we had to do water rescue as well, only in still water. It was never in open water. So although we did quite a bit of training in Wales, which is open water, we just did still water training. So my first water job, it was probably my third or fourth day on station. I got my first water job. And the call was man in the water. So we just thought, oh, guy's stuck. He's obviously holding on to something and he can't swim. And we've pulled up and we didn't even have to get in the water. Like, the guy was face down and our OIC just said, no one's getting in. Like, he's clearly gone. Like, he'd been there all night. And it was on like a farmer's field, and the farmer had seen it in the morning. So that's when he called it in. But I say it was like the worst day, but that was just like my first instance of a dead body in the job. But I mean, police get there and then you find out about who the person is and stuff like that. And yeah, although like someone's lost their life, there's certain things about that person that would upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. Like, he was not a very nice person.
Yeah.
Did a lot of stuff that would upset a lot of mothers and fathers. Okay. I'll just say that. So
yeah.
So it was like, just getting up to the job, terrible day. Finding those out wasn't too bad.
But also, like, you know, regardless of the circumstances that surrounded it, like, I have never...
Never forget that.
No, I've never seen a dead body. Like, I hope to God I never do, you know, like, touch wood. That must have been horrific.
You never forget it.
Nah, God.
You never forget it. You never forget the smell. You never forget how they look. Like, I see it sometimes, but, like, it's just one of those things as a passing image in my mind. Like, sometimes when I, like, for instance, if I do some swimming stuff and then go sleep, maybe I might think about it.
Yeah. No, but, that makes sense.
But the service, I have to give props to the service. They're very good at, like, giving you an area to talk about these things.
Yeah, like, so they'll have, like, good support afterwards.
Yeah, got very good support right there. But then at the same time, us being firefighters, we always say, I'm all right.
Yeah.
But that's just the old way of doing things. And everyone will say, I'm all right. But then you joke about things with other firefighters, but that's your way of getting it out.
Yeah.
And that's how it's always been. And I feel like that's how it always will be.
Yeah.
Like, although you may not talk about it directly, you'll joke about it, but that's your way of talking about it.
It's like, obviously, an old school mentality surrounding like the firefighters and sort of stuff like that. But I think, like, if you've got a way of inadvertently or indirectly talking through your stuff, and even if it is joking and humor and all the rest of it, like, at least there's a catharsis in some respect there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's mad because obviously listening to all the things you've spoke about, the horrible things you've seen, the incredible things you've done, like, firefighters deserve an awful lot of respect and admiration. And, like, most recently they've made, like, in the last couple of years, they've made the news for their strikes. Like, mm-hmm. How does that make you feel? Even though it's a profession you've potentially, like, left behind, your brother still is a firefighter. Like, to me, striking makes, like, zero sense. People don't do it for no reason. Just fucking give them what they're asking for. It's not unrealistic. It's not wild. So I don't get it, but you've got a real personal connection to this one.
Well, I was in the union. So, like, if we was to go on strike while I was in the service, I was striking. Yeah. And it's not because I don't want to help people, because as I've made very clear, that's all I ever want to do is help people. But we're going, like, I say we, I'm no longer doing it. Firefighters are going to work every single day, and that day may be their last. And a lot of people don't really see it that way, but as a former firefighter, the case studies we go through, a case study only really comes about when a firefighter dies, and there's a lot of case studies. So yeah. You get all this information about, like, oh yeah, this may be your last day, and then, but we're not going to pay you this because we don't think, like, it warrants that pay. And it's like, my life is worth more than that, and I'm going to help other people make sure that their lives are still there by the end of the day. So you do all your fire safety stuff, you go in and save people's lives, and then they're like, oh yeah, we're not going to raise your wages to coincide with inflation. And you're like, well, I can't live like this. A lot of firefighters have a second job.
I know that. Like, I actually, like, they go and work in, like, restaurants or bars, or they drive Ubers and stuff outside of it. Like, that's absolutely insane to me. These are people who, God, if heaven forbid, if anything happened to you, like, or anything happened, if your kids or your house caught on fire, they'd be the only people in the world who could save you. And yet, the fucking moonlighting as taxi drivers, it makes absolutely no sense to me.
You've got to live your, sometimes, well, you've got to live your life and be able to provide for your family.
Yeah.
And sometimes what you're getting is not enough.
So I just feel like that's a crime that that firefighters, nurses, teachers, whoever it is, the backbones of our society are not being looked after properly.
Yeah, and a lot of them are going to work every day and risking their lives. Police officers, firefighters, like, soldiers, they're all going to work risking their lives.
Well,
and then it's like, it's a kind of like a kick in the teeth. And we're like, oh yeah, you risked your life today, but you're still here, aren't you? And it's like, well, that's not the point. That's not the point.
Struggling to pay your bills and stuff and things when you're putting your life on the line, like those two things, those two sentences should never really be in the same sentence, should they?
But what I will say is it is the best job in the world.
So obviously after that, you took your career a slightly different direction and, you know, have spent some time on reality TV. In that time that you spent on various different shows, did you learn anything? Is there anything you can take away from it?
So what I learned was just about being more patient with myself and controlling what I can control and letting go of what I can't.
That's very important. I know that, like, from experience, reality TV is full of, like, highs and lows and ups and downs and stuff. But surely one of the highs for you must have been meeting Chris and your friends. Are you still friends with Jordan too?
Yeah, friends with them. I mean, we've built such a good friendship. Like, I'm going to show you a picture now. So this is from when me and Chris was in, me, Chris and Joe was in Germany. Jordan had gone somewhere, so me, Chris and Harriet all took pictures in a photo booth. And that stays on my board, on my whiteboard in my office. But just the friendship that we've built. Yeah, just a little permanent reminder. The friendship that we've built is one that will last a lifetime.
So obviously, we found out in the summer that Margot Robbie was a huge fan of Love Island. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, Chris got a sneaky role in the Barbie film. Were you a bit jealous of that? Because I would be jealous of that.
No, I mean, like, I was obviously really happy for him. I was, like, over the moon to, like, know that he... It was kind of a strange moment because, like, I got that email too, but I thought it was fake. I thought it was fake. Like, I sent it to my manager and was like, is this real? And he was like, nah, I don't think so. And then I was like, chase it up. And he was like, yeah, all right, cool. Chased it up. And he's like, it's real. I was like, no, it's not. Oh, it's not lying, it's not. And then I heard Chris doing a take.
It was audition.
Like, yeah. I was like, is this what I think it is? Is that, yeah? I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, by that point, they didn't reply to me. So I was like, it's over for me.
Oh, babe, you missed your trick. But listen, Barbie was huge success. I wouldn't be too shocked if there's another one coming. So maybe fingers crossed by you then.
Yeah, maybe I can be a black hen.
Oh, you'd be a really good black hen.
I think so too.
You would be. Yeah, it'd be great. But Chris was good as well. Everything else for a reason, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like, it was so strange how that whole meeting came about because I did the Birds of Prey launch in London and I actively tried to avoid the red carpet. So I turned up late deliberately.
Oh, wow. And I actually hate them. It made me so nervous.
I just felt like I just wanted to go in. I just wanted to, like, see the movie, see the cast, and then nobody needs to know I was there. I mean, probably in the wrong industry to be doing that, but anyway,
That's what Leonardo DiCaprio does, you know. He goes through the back doors all the time, so maybe he's not that, you know, different. He's a big star.
Yeah, true. But, so I got there late, and the red carpet was supposed to close at 6:30. I got there at 6:45. So I was like, sweet, missed the red carpet. Got there. Oh, just so happened that they kept it on. And everything was running a little bit behind.
Everybody's always running late, Michael.
They were like, you just need to walk the carpet. I was like, damn. Anyway, walking down the carpet and Margot Robbie's walking right towards me. And who was I with? I was with Jordan and I punched him. And I was like, because he was like kind of turning his head and I punched him. I was like,
John's a bit dopey, isn't he?
he was just like taking everything in.
Okay.
He wasn't paying attention. So I punched him and I was like, do you know who that is? He was like, is that Margot Robbie? I was like, yeah. I was like, she's walking right towards us. I was like, are you going to say hello? I was like, yeah. You know, trying to play fucking big bollocks and that. I was like, yeah, of course I am. And before I could even open my mouth, she was like, oh, Michael. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? I was like, I was like, what's happening right now? I looked around to think I was being pranked. I was like, what's happening right now? And she was like, oh my God, Michael, Jordan, Lucy. I was like, somebody please tell me what's happening. No. Anyway, we all get a picture on the red carpet, and I was just like, this is crazy. After the movie, one of her friends catches me outside and says,
how about that?
Oh, catch us there, how about that? Says, Margot's invited you to the after party. I was like, all right, cool. I was like, we'll go. And then he disappeared. He just disappeared. Nobody told me where we were going.
Oh, no, boo.
So we went home.
No.
And then Eyal rings me. Yeah. And he's like, yo, you need to check your Instagram messages. I was like, why? He was like, Margot's friend's trying to get in touch with you. I was like, what? He was like, Margot probably trying to get in touch with you. I was like, all right, cool. Open my phone, looking through my message requests, and there was nothing really there. There's just a couple of strange names. None of them said Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Mm. I was like, it's all a lie. Opened one of them. I was like, this is the only one that looks a bit familiar. And it was the guy's name that we'd met at the premiere. And it was a video. And it was just Margot Robbie saying, come, please come. And I was like, we're going.
Did you go?
Yeah, bear in mind, we've got back to this is where we was living in Islington. We've got back to the apartment. I'm sat on the kitchen counter in my boxers eating pizza. And I literally just looked at Jordan and was like, get dressed, we're leaving. He was like, oh, but I was like, no, get dressed, we're leaving. And Chris could hear all the commotion from upstairs, comes down, he was like, what's going on? I was like, get dressed, we're leaving. He was like, where am I going? He was like, you're going to go meet Margot Robbie. He was like, have I got time to shower? I was like, no.
Fucking get your clothes on. It's Margot fucking Robbie.
I was like, get your clothes on. I've already booked an Uber. So we all went, and we went from one party. By the time we got there, it was finishing in like 10 minutes. But then they were like, oh, we're going to another private party where it's just Margot's friends. I was like, wait, was that like, we're going or you're going? And he was like, no, we're going. I'm like, Margot just came and spent the night with us. It was literally me, Chris, Jordan, Lucy Donlan.
Yeah, I like her.
And Margot Robbie and a couple of her friends, maybe like six of her friends.
Michael, just tell me she's so nice.
The nicest woman on the planet. Like, I met her husband and everything.
Oh, he seems husband. Really nice too.
She FaceTimed the husband. She was like, Michael, I want to introduce you to someone. So I'm thinking, what? This is my husband. I was like, oh, hi. Talking to her husband on Facebook. I was like, this is insane. I sent a picture of me and Margot Robbie into our family group. And my eldest brother was like, is that who I think that is? Is that Margot Robbie? Wolf of Wall Street, Margot Robbie? I was like, bro, relax. So yeah, I was like, be cool.
She is Erkan's like, number one. I feel like she's every man's, but like she's Erkan's number one, like golden pass. Like he would lose his fucking mind.
Oh, I feel like everybody would.
Oh god, do you know what? I'm a girl and I fancy boys. And I would lose my mind over it. She's just perfect. She's like an angel. And yeah, that she's nice as well. Oh, this has just been brilliant for me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're now in the world of sports presenting, is that right?
Yeah.
Was that always the goal? Are you smart and shrewd? Were you thinking, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do something else?
Not at all. So like when the whole TV thing came about, I was very, naive about what was going to happen afterwards. I thought I was going straight back to the job, going straight back to fire service, and I was just going to crack on with life. So when that all happened, I think I had a pretty mad year of not really knowing what I was doing. But I've always known that sports has been such a played a major part of my life.
What's been the highlight of that so far for you?
Oh, that's a difficult one because there's been a lot of interesting moments. That's too hard to answer because,
what about top three?
Interviewing people and getting to know people on a more personal level, especially when them as either fighters or athletes respect you as a host and you stay connected. That's probably the top thing about it.
Yeah, that's a nice feeling.
I never want to trap a athlete into a corner to talk about a certain topic when I know they don't want to talk about it. So I'm not going to talk to you about something you don't want to talk about. I'm just going to talk about things that I'm interested in. And if you don't want to answer it, cool, we'll move on. But I feel like my first major thing was meeting up Anthony Joshua. And yeah, I feel like that was my first major thing, meeting Anthony Joshua. And
he was such a nice lad.
Yeah. Such a nice guy. And I said hello to him and stuff like that. And he was like, "Oh, you're Skins' mate." I was like, "How do you know that?" Because one of his best mates is my mate. And I didn't really put two and two together. So I must look like an idiot. But it was fine. No,
because he's had that little connection. I, years ago, after I won the jungle, went to watch Chris Eubank's son fight. He was the undercard to the Dillian White and Anthony Joshua fight. And we were standing in the dressing room just before, almost it was after, I forget. Anyway, Anthony Joshua walked past and me and Chris Eubank's daughter, we didn't even know where to look, Michael. Like, we were just like, oh my God. Like, he still had his top up and everything. And I was like, fuck it out. Like, he's just such a, like, obviously, look, an impressive physical specimen. But to hear that he's really nice as well is obviously
such a nice guy.
Great.
Such
news.
A nice guy. I've not got a bad word to say about AJ.
Love that.
Not at all.
Who is top of the list, as in like iconic people you really want to speak to?
Ooh, iconic people I want to speak to. Ooh, that's a difficult one as well. I mean, I want to speak to everybody, but at the same time, like, obviously being a big NFL fan, I followed the NFL for like 16 years. Like, I really want to, I want to talk to players from my team. So I'm an Eagles fan. So I want to speak to people like Jalen Hurts and Javonte Smith. A lot of people who listen to this podcast won't know who they are, but
I want to listen to them.
Yeah. I want to hear what they say. But out of like, so we'll go from UFC. Out of the UFC, I want to speak to John Jones. He is the GOAT. He is the GOAT. When it comes to boxing, like, I've spoken to AJ, I've spoken to Tyson Fury.
Wow.
I've spoken to a lot of fighters. Tyson Fury is another one of those people. Like, he is a genuine nice guy.
He's so down to earth.
Formula One, I'd love to speak to Lewis Hamilton.
I'd love
the opportunity to sit down and pick his brain.
Yeah.
Like, just because his story is just so sensational about, like, how difficult it was for him to get into Formula One to then him being 7-time world champion. Like, it's crazy.
It's like, honestly, you can hear how enthusiastic and passionate you are about it, mate. And I'm so pleased you've found something like this for you. And I hope you get to speak to all of those people as well. I feel like all I know about the NFL is that Taylor Swift's boyfriend plays in there.
Yeah. Well, at first, when Taylor Swift got with Travis Kelce, I was like, oh no, it's going to become the Taylor Swift show. And it kind of did.
It did, yeah.
It kind of did become the Taylor Swift show. But at the same time, Taylor Swift brought a lot of new eyes to American football.
I know, right? And like, what's wrong with that?
At first, I was a little bit against it, but it's the Taylor Swift effect. I'm kind of happy that it happened because a lot of new eyes came to the sport. And then they start to watch it because they're looking out for Taylor. So although they're all watching Kansas games, they're still watching the game. Yeah. And they're starting to pick things up. And then when the game comes to London, they'll go, oh, maybe I'll go to the game. And I mean, they play in London three times a year. So, yeah, there's three games in London a year. And then there's currently one in Germany. And this year, there will be one in Brazil.
What I'm hearing here is that you're a Swiftie. That's what I'm hearing.
No, whoa. I wouldn't go as far as saying I'm a Swiftie. All I would say is I accept Taylor Swift into the NFL.
Very gracious of you. What is next for you, Mac?
What is next? Well, I'm off to Saudi in a couple of weeks for the Fury Usyk fight.
I've seen you in your outfit. Your Instagram. Yeah, you look kind of good.
Yeah.
Is it nice and cool?
Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah,
it's very, very cool. To be fair, when I bought it, the guy was like, "This looks right on you." And I was like, "It kind of feels right." And then one of the boys was like, "Oh God, like, you should just model them. Just come and model them for everybody." I was like, stop it. Maybe I will.
Khan did a bit of modelling once, right? He's going to kill us for telling you this. But in the dizzying heights that his career reached was that he modelled an Udi on Amazon. About once a month on average, someone fucking slides into my DMs and sends me the picture of Erkan in the Udi and goes, "Is this your fella?"
I'm going to find that picture.
Please do. And just send it to him with no explanation. He'll be fucking fumed.
I'll just send him that.
Oh, well, that's really exciting, babe. I do have some listener questions for you as well before we finish up. So I'm just going to just fire through these. I have to forewarn you that some of them are incredibly inappropriate. And I myself have not asked them. Okay, so number one, Tamara wants to know, are you single?
No.
Sorry, Tamara, you were too late. That's you missed a chance.
That's an aspect of my life I keep private.
And you know what, mate? That's your right. So we'll leave Tamara hanging there, but the door's firmly closed on that one.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Closed.
Lucy wants to know, what exercises would you recommend to get a bigger butt?
Bigger butt. I would say Bulgarian split squats and some glute bridge. You can't. Yeah, but the thing is, if you get over enough, like I did Bulgarian split squats with a bar that it's not a safety bar, but it's one that kind of drops down and it's a bit longer and your handles are here instead of holding the bar there. That bar forces you forwards. Mm-hmm. So you really feel it in your glutes and doing it single leg. I mean, you go through hell, but it's really effective.
Come out with a peach.
I've
got an absolute pancake. I'm really working on it for the wedding. I'm trying very hard, but it's fucking not my natural shape. So pray for us. Pray for us, mate. And finally, Sam wants to know the big question on everyone's lips at the moment. Do you know where Kate Middleton is?
No, I don't. That's an interesting question. I don't think I keep up with Kate Middleton.
No, mate, do you know what? She's come under fire a bit recently, and I think Sam's been a little bit cheeky. So we'll... unfortunately, no answers on that one. Sam was staying mysterious.
I mean, I'm not allowed to tell you where she is, but... I'm joking.
Fucking just behind that sneaker wall.
She's literally just over the road there. She's just come out the back gate.
Before I let you go, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for taking your time to chat to her. It's been really lovely. And I hope you get all of those fantastic people on your checklist to speak to very soon. But here at Vicky Patterson The Secret 2, we always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a couple pearls of wisdom. And a common theme throughout your life, Michael, apart from being incredibly busy and doing so many different things and doing them well as well, I might add.
I mean, that's probably because I've got ADHD. I think I'm slightly autistic, but that's not been confirmed, so I'm not going to say I am, but ADHD definitely has.
Definitely. Well, you know, it's nice to have an explanation, but it doesn't seem to have set you in particularly good stead because you've harnessed it, you know? But a common theme is definitely that you're trying to be a good person. You're trying to grow, you're trying to be a better person, and you're trying to make your family proud. So what I wanted to know is what your secret is to making your mom and dad proud.
Secret to making me more that proud. Just being a better person every day, helping people and making people feel happy in themselves. Like if you can make one person smile, that might change their whole day.
Oh, Michael, you made me smile loads today. You're such a nice man.
Well, thank you, Vicky.
No, well, thank you so much. Well, guys, that was Michael Griffiths, Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2, and I'm sure you'll all agree, what a lovely, lovely man. I knew he was nice. I meant what I said when he came and helped us out with my isolation care package project during lockdown. Sort of showed us, like, what he was made of. All the boys, you know, Chris and Jordan too, they were just so kind. And they didn't have to, but, like, listening to him there and hearing him talk for a prolonged period of time, it was just really eye-opening, wasn't it? He's achieved so much and was just so interesting and insightful. So yeah, I love that. I hope you loved listening to that chat as much as I loved having it. I hope you all have a really great week, and of course please tell everyone about Vicky Patterson The Secret too, and follow her on my socials as well.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.